The English Eccentric by E. O. Higgins.
In 1765, a distinguished French scholar by the name of Pierre-Jean Grosley visited England for the first time and was struck by the level of eccentricity he observed in the natives. Writing home on the subject, he noted that this unusual behaviour he had observed could be attributed to a mixture of fogs, beef, and beer, aggravated by the tedium of the English Sunday. The English actress Rachel Weisz once said, "I think London is sexy because it's so full of eccentrics." Which makes me think that me and Rach are hanging out in slightly different places. Unless she thinks middle-aged men with facial tattoos fighting with bike chains is eccentric. It isn't. It is sexy, though. But what is eccentricity? Well, look it up. Who am I, your dad?
Donald Sinclair, 1919-1981. The Bad Serviceman.
Donald Sinclair, former proprietor of the Hotel Glen Eagles in Torquay, was the unwitting inspiration for Basil Fawlty, the irascible protagonist of the hugely successful BBC comedy series Fawlty Towers. Before the Second World War rolled around, Sinclair was an officer in the Royal Naval Reserve, and consequently, in 1939, he was called up for military service. His naval career was dramatic. Sinclair was first assigned to the HMS Salopian, a converted cargo liner that had been armed and converted into a warship. On the 13th of May, 1941, the ship was attacked by a German U-boat and torpedoed four times. Despite the Salopian's engines being knocked out, Sinclair and his shipmates fought on, engaging the enemy in a gun battle when the submarine surfaced. When the German submariners finally gave up the fight and retreated back to the depths, a fifth torpedo ripped through the Salopian, breaking her in half. Sinclair, clinging to the wreckage, was picked up by the HMS Impulsive the next morning. 2 months later, Sinclair joined the crew of the infantry landing ship HMS Carranger to take part in the impossibly butch-sounding military mission Operation Ironclad, the British invasion of Vichy French-controlled Madagascar. Once again, Sinclair's boat was taken out with him still on it. This time, the engine room was hit by two bombs from a German Fokker, which caused it to blow up and sink. Finally, Sinclair served as an escort on the HMS Trumpeter, assigned to take part on the slightly less cool-sounding Operation Zipper, a mission to assist in the recapture of British Malaya. However, by the time they reached the Far East in July 1945, the war had all but ended, and the mission was abandoned. During a period of extended leave in 1940, Sinclair had travelled back to the UK to marry Beatrice Ritchie, the daughter of an Aberdeenshire policeman who worked as a fashion consultant and designer at a department store. To avoid the constant bombing of her native Glasgow, whose factories and shipyards had made it a major enemy target, Beatrice came south to the more tranquil environs of Torquay, a popular tourist resort on the Devonshire coast, where she initially resided with an aunt. A successful businesswoman and entrepreneur, Beatrice bought and took up the management of a local guest house, Greenacres, and was evidently good at it, for soon afterwards she purchased a second property, which she quickly converted into a hotel. Beatrice named this after her favourite part of her native Scotland, Glen Eagles. It was initially promoted as upmarket, due to the fact that it had private bathrooms in each one of its 41 rooms, which had all been given exotic names like Coral and Mimosa. In April 1946, Sinclair, now a salty old sea dog with a well-earned reputation as a disciplinarian, returned to Blighty. Having achieved the rank of Lieutenant Commander, as an officer with his own bagman, he was used to giving orders and having them carried out to the letter. Arriving in Torquay, his wife Beatrice somehow persuaded him to give up his naval career in favour of the safer option of running one of her hotels. Though he grudgingly agreed, he was not a man well suited to the service industry. Sinclair managed the Glen Eagles with only the very keenest reluctance, treating anyone checking in as a source of considerable irritation. Marching about the hotel, swathed in his dressing gown, he would angrily berate guests and interpret any interaction with them as the most unforgivable imposition. Indeed, according to the hotel's former employees, requests for alarm calls, taxis, and late suppers would be routinely met by fierce looks and howls of "Why?" At 10 p.m. one evening, a young mother staying at the hotel pressed the night porter button at reception. After 15 minutes, a furious Sinclair appeared. When she asked if she could have a flask of hot water to heat her baby's bottle, he snarled at her for getting him out of bed for such a trivial request. Any guest hoping to leave the hotel after supper would be met by Sinclair bawling incredulously from reception, "And where on God's earth do you think you're going?" Another guest who inquired when the next bus to town would be was responded to by Sinclair throwing a timetable at his face. When it all got too much for him, Sinclair would retreat to his sanctuary, a small office just off the hotel's reception. Here he would remain, unregarded, doing little bits and pieces such as typing up the menus. In May 1970, the comedy troupe of the BBC sketch show Monty Python's Flying Circus were filming for their upcoming TV series in the nearby town of Paignton, and by chance found themselves booked into the Glen Eagles. Aware of the booking, Donald Sinclair was apparently wary about having a bunch of comedians stay at the hotel. But Beatrice overruled him, as the Monty Python cast members and the production crew staying at the hotel for 3 weeks in the off-season represented a significant amount of business. Returning late from filming, a shoot that involved him playing football dressed as a gynecologist, Michael Palin recorded in his diary on the single night that he stayed at the hotel,
"Mr. Sinclair, the proprietor, seemed to view us from the start as a colossal inconvenience. And when we arrived back from Brixham at 12:30, having watched the night filming, he just stood and looked at us with a look of self-righteous resentment, of tacit accusation that I'd not seen since my father waited up for me 15 years ago. Graham tentatively asked for a brandy. The idea was dismissed. And that night, our first in Torquay, we decided to move out of the Glen Eagles."
John Cleese, however, seemed fascinated by the hotel manager, describing him later as the most wonderfully rude man he'd ever met. After Palin had checked out, along with Terry Jones and Graham Chapman, Sinclair set about endearing himself to the remaining Pythons. In the hotel's dining room, as they were eating supper the second evening of their stay, Sinclair leaned over the table where Terry Gilliam, the only American Python, was finishing his meal, and putting his knife and fork together on the plate for him, advised, "This is how we do it in England." The following morning, Eric Idle left his briefcase by the front door, whilst waiting for a taxi to pick him up for filming, and inadvertently forgot it. returning later, idly inquired after the bag.
What?
Came the growling response.
Oh yes, it's behind the wall,
Sinclair said brusquely, pointing out the front doors towards a swimming pool with a large white wall behind it. Idle responded by asking, not unreasonably, why his bag was behind the wall. Sinclair returned.
I thought it might contain a bomb.
Idle queried this. Why would it contain a bomb?
Well,
Sinclair told him,
we've had a lot of staff problems recently.
The rest of the Pythons soon relocated to the Imperial Hotel, but Cleese decided to stay on and even sent for his wife, Connie Booth, to join him. And together the pair set about observing Sinclair and gathering material that would later be used to create Cleese's most enduring comedy creation, Basil Fawlty. Sinclair's peculiar behaviour was obviously percolating in his head for a while, for in 1975, Cleese drew on his encounters with a cantankerous hotelier whilst penning No Ill Feeling, an episode of the popular TV comedy Doctor at Large. In it, Barry Evans's character, Dr. Upton, is put up at a provincial hotel run by the irritable and curt Mr. Clifford. Played by the actor Timothy Bateson, like the real Sinclair, Clifford was a small man, totally dominated by his overbearing wife.
Yes?
Ah, good evening. I believe you have a room.
Now, what is it?
I believe you have a room booked for me.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You haven't done the steps yet. Why haven't you done the sprouts?
Why should I do the sprouts? I'm sorry, but I can't do everything round here, you know.
No, quite.
What is it that you want?
I believe you have a room.
Yes, all right, I'm coming to do them now, dear. Did you book a sprout?
So he was quite small, physically. And Mrs. Sinclair was sizable. So it was more obviously the sort of henpecked husband situation by reversing it, because I couldn't be small, obviously, and Prue is not very tall. We kind of took it away a little bit from the more obvious aspects of the henpecked husband.
This early incarnation of Cleese's Basil Fawlty character is little more than a thumbnail sketch of what is to come. Clifford, though testy and clearly ill-suited to running a hotel, has none of Basil's neuroses. And when he discovers that his guest is a doctor, there's none of Fawlty's trademark fawning and attempting to ingratiate himself with the non-riffraff element. It appears that Sinclair wasn't the only member of the Glen Eagle staff that inspired Cleese and Connie Booth's writing. Working at the hotel at the time was an efficient German-Swiss housekeeper called Jetty, transformed in Fawlty Towers to Booth's own character of Polly, and a slightly bewildered Spanish waiter named Pepe, who became Andrew Sachs's Manuel. Indeed, the Glen Eagles itself is name-checked in the Fawlty Towers episode The Builders, as a suggestive alternative location for the guests' dinner, while Fawlty Towers undergoes emergency renovations.
Ah, good morning, ladies.
Ursula, I think you're a very naughty boy, don't you, Ursula?
Oh, God. Oh, really?
Going away for the weekend and leaving us all alone.
Yes.
but we know where you're going. The cat's out of the bag.
You and your wife?
Well, it's only Penton.
we'll have a lovely time. It'll do you good. You need to get away from things.
Yes, well, we're going together.
And don't you worry about us.
Oh, all right. Now, you know the mayor coming to do some work here?
Oh, yes.
So you have to go to Glen Eagles for your din-dins tonight?
Yes.
And Polly will be in charge if you need anything.
Oh, well, have a lovely weekend. And don't do anything we wouldn't do.
Oh, just a little breathing, surely.
Sinclair died back in Torquay in 1981, having emigrated to Canada in the mid-1970s. In 2002, his widow Beatrice broke her silence to complain about Fawlty Towers' unfair portrayal of her late husband, stating that the TV comedy had turned him into a laughingstock. She agreed that he was a disciplinarian, who didn't suffer fools gladly, but he was in no way the neurotic eccentric portrayed. According to Sinclair's former employees, though, the Basil Fawlty character barely did him justice. On one occasion, while the guests were all enjoying a drink in the hotel's bar after dinner, Sinclair suddenly pulled down the bar shutters and told everyone to get out because he was going to bed. When the guests complained, he told them it was tough and designated them a bunch of cowboys. On another occasion, Sinclair astounded guests when he suddenly cancelled an advertised dinner dance at a moment's notice. When they complained that they'd only come to the hotel for the event, he dumped a record player in the middle of the room and then headed off to bed. During one memorable breakfast at the hotel, Sinclair flew into a rage because one of the waiters had placed a teapot on the wrong side of a table. He immediately halted breakfast for all guests and, going up systematically to each table, interrogated the diners for a description of the guilty waiter. Finally, a waiter prevailed, however. The Hotel Glen Eagles was closed permanently on February 2015 and demolished the following November. Where it once stood, there is now a housing development called Saxe Lodge. Its name, an abstruse reference to the actor that played Fawlty Towers' beleaguered Spanish waiter, Manuel.
This is a bonus episode written for Patreon subscriber Mark Vent.
His ass is grass.
Though not literally, obviously.
He was so gratuitously rude, because like all British hoteliers, he operated on the principle that I could run this hotel properly if it wasn't for the guests.